If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. Even Money Week 9 in the National Football League style. I am Ross Tucker. I was a journeyman offensive lineman for 7 years, journeyed to 5 different teams, had a pretty fun 20s career, if you will, career in my 20s. He is Steve Fezzik. He is the only 2-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting. You can follow him and get all his tips on Twitter at Fezzik Sports, like I do, F-E-Z-Z-I-K Sports. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. If you just want my random ramblings, like the fact that on Friday nights I like to listen to high school football games in bed while in my underwear. I know I've been getting a lot of flack for that this week. I don't know why. The producer is the one and only Brian Neal at RTF Podcast, which is also the official Twitter handle for all the various RT Media podcasts. So if you ever want to make sure you know exactly when every podcast has been posted, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or the Fantasy Feast Podcast, all you need to do is make sure you're following Brian on Twitter at RTF Podcast, because he tweets the link as soon as it's ready. And that link is from rostucker.com, which is always the hub for all of these podcasts and the place where you can get the feed for whatever device it is that you're listening to right now. You can also support the podcast if you're so inclined. PayPal, you can donate or support and contribute via PayPal. And if you want to ask a question via email, if you support via PayPal, we'll get that question read the very next week here on the Even Money Podcast. Amazon, if you need to buy something, there's some Amazon landing pages there. There's banner ads. You click on them, gives you a landing page. And that's it. Last week, I had a bad week. Not that bad, but a bad week. But Steve, after 2 or 3 maybe down weeks in a row, Steve got back on the wagon, up 5 for the week. The Seattle Carolina under was a big one. Miami Jacksonville over, I think, was another big one for you, Steve. You had a really under. Nice week.
Miami Jacksonville under. Landed 40, played under 43.
Oh, that was under as well? Okay. I couldn't remember. You know what? That's one of the ones I won as well. So you and I, that was a best bet. Miami Jacksonville under was a best bet, and you and I both hit on that one. So
you get 2 pick-sixes and you win it, and under, you really know you had the right side.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I lost 3, and really I did pretty well on the over-unders. I had the Jets and the Bills, the over. I had the Jags and the Dolphins, the under. But I lost with the Bears, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Eagles. What's especially disappointing is, like with the Ravens and the Eagles, Steve, they were getting points and they both lost on one play, but it was still not enough even with the points for me to win. It's like they were a play away, both of them, from winning the game. And even though I was getting points, I still wasn't able to win.
Well, Kelly in the Eagle game chose to kick a field goal with 2 minutes left, 4th and 1 from the 2, and it's such an egregiously bad decision that isn't fully endorsed by every announcer. And, you know, every pro gambler, every 20 years from now, Ross, all these teams will hire strategists like myself that will tell them, you go for it there, you do not kick the field goal, terrible decision.
Tell me why you think it's a terrible decision.
The second you kick the field goal, you're favored to win, but not by that much. You're about a 65% to win the game. Let me back up. Probably the easiest way that it's a terrible decision, if you phoned over to Arizona and said, what would you like us to do, Arizona, and would immediately say, please kick the field goal, give us the ball, thank you. But if you go for it, especially if you have a savvy quarterback, you do the Belichick play, you put the 4 wide receivers out, quick huddle, rush to the line of scrimmage, and you sneak it, and your quarterback should be instructed, if he's heading to the goal line, down it on the half-yard line, you win. If he gets stuffed, reach the ball out, try to get the first down. Even if he gets stuffed, they'll make it. You'll make it, well, maybe 65% of the time. Even if you get stuffed, you're still winning, sticking the other team on the one-yard line with 2 minutes to play. If you just get a yard but don't get in the end zone, you win. If you get in the end zone, you're a monster favorite. In other words, all the situations are good. I'm not even sure that you're so much better off being up three, kicking off, than being tied and having the other team on their own one. So it's all upside to go for it.
See, I don't think I agree with that. I understand what you're saying, and you're coming from the math angle of it. And I think there are certainly, Steve, more times when teams should go for it in those situations than they do. But in that situation, there's 2 minutes left in the game. You just got stuffed on third down. Your quarterback has been pretty turnover-prone right now. And it's only a 17-17 game. So they've only scored 17 points the whole game, and that included an 80-yard touchdown by Larry Fitzgerald. I think you got to get the lead there. I mean, if they go for it and get stuffed, people would be going berserk that they didn't kick the field goal to make sure they had the lead and give themselves a chance to win the game in that way. I don't think that the Eagles anticipate their safety biting on a double move and giving up a 75-yard touchdown right after that.
Now, you're right about the media reaction, but you're wrong about the probability of winning, and I can prove it to you. The second the field goal unit comes out, the very best bettors in the world, the guys who make a living, are pounding Arizona on the in the live wagering. They feel it is an egregiously bad decision. And I also might add, as a former player, you know how difficult it is to stop an offense on the last drive when the defense is gassed versus stopping them in the first drive where the defense has all the advantage. But the bottom line is the marketplace is extremely sharp, Ross. The second that field goal unit came out, people were pounding in bets on Arizona. And not only did Arizona have time to score, and you could say, that was kind of unpredictable. Well, if it was that unpredictable, how come the Eagles had time? Not only did Arizona have time to go down the field, 2 minutes is an eternity. They actually left enough time that the Eagles themselves almost went down the field and won the game back. And it just goes to show, if you got 2 minutes left in the NFL, I think people are still in the mindset it's the 1970s and Oakland and Pittsburgh are playing 7-6 games. I mean, teams score, score, score. You cannot stop an offense with a gas defense.
They only scored 17 points the whole game, and couldn't you argue the opposite, which is that by going for the field goal there and get taking the lead, then you're giving yourself a good chance to, in your mind, get the ball back again if the other team does score?
No, because almost all the time they play conservative, too deep, and they get dinked and dunked, and the other team scores with 20 seconds left. That was a little bit of an aberration that they got beat with a big play. Usually you get picked apart and the other team scores with just seconds
remaining. I'm surprised that the bettors hit it that hard, because I think that there's probably a decent probability that the Arizona Cardinals would get a field goal. But to think that they'll get a touchdown, I don't think is real high in that situation.
But if they get a field goal, it's a coin flip who's going to win. And like I said, the best evidence I can give, though, if you had bet Arizona and Philly has the ball on your two, the last thing I think you would want to see is for them to go for it. If they get 1 yard, the game is over. They just take a knee and they kick the field goal, and you're done. So, you know, handing the ball back to the offense. And I might add that even in the Tampa Bay game, like, Tampa couldn't do anything the entire game. They're down 10-6, and they're able to get into the end zone at the end. It happens all the time.
Interesting. Well, a good little discussion here to start off a Week 9 Even Money podcast edition. I like to dive a little bit deeper sometimes. But we must get into the picks, Steve. They want our picks. And, by the way, that's part of the reason why Steve and I have different picks sometimes. We see things differently. He is the better, the gambler, the professional handicapper. I'm just the former player. Bri, what do we got?
Let's start off with tonight, New Orleans at Carolina, Thursday Night Football.
I'll start on this one, Steve, and I don't like this game. I think New Orleans probably wins it. They're a 3-point favorite. The total number is 49. I don't really see anything here that I think is value. I think New Orleans probably wins the game, but I do think it's close. If I had to do something on the total, I'd probably hit the over, but I don't feel good enough about it to actually wager on it.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself. New Orleans went from pick to -3, and how I'm not sitting with a whole bunch of New Orleans is beyond me, because I know Carolina has so many problems. And so I really dropped the ball on this one. Should have released it before. I know people are saying New Orleans can't win on the road. New Orleans is fine. They lost three games they should have won at Detroit, at Atlanta, and at Cleveland. And all three of those games they were winning with 2 minutes to play. Having said that, I'm going to put two bets on the game because I'm confident New Orleans is going to start with the ball. Carolina always defers, and New Orleans has experimented when they win the coin flip, sometimes deferring, but as of late, they've been taking the ball. So give me New Orleans first quarter -130 for I'll go ahead and play that for just one unit. And Carolina in the third quarter, they should be about plus, I would imagine, +110. We'll take them for one unit as well.
Steve, thoughts on San Diego at Miami?
Yes, and total went up from 44.5 to 45, and I see Miami's laying 1.5, and I will take Miami for two units. I know they were fortunate against Jacksonville, but they were flat as a pancake in that game, and they still took care of business. The stats say that Miami is the better team, 5.4 yards per play. They give up 4.7. San Diego has a cupcake strength of schedule, got exposed somewhat by Denver when they played the Broncos. I do expect Miami to win a close game. Miami, two units.
Interesting. Well, this is one of those games. I'm going the other way. I feel like San Diego has played pretty consistently. I know they lost to the Broncos. I know they lost to the Chiefs the last two games, but they were right there. I don't expect them to lose a third straight game. They're getting a point and a half. I don't think the Dolphins are really playing that well. You know, they beat the Bears team that's in total disarray, that got crushed by the Patriots. And they beat the Jaguars, but two pick sixes. Phillip Rivers isn't going to throw two pick sixes. So I'm going to take the San Diego Superchargers for two units, getting a point and a half.
Ross, let's talk about Jacksonville at Cincinnati.
Well, the Bengals are going to win the game. I'd be really surprised if they don't, but they're laying 11 points. That seems pretty high to me right now with the way the Jags are playing defensively. I just don't see that. I mean, I just don't see them giving up that many points so that the Cincinnati Bengals win by 11. The total number is 43.5. I don't see how they get there. I don't think Jacksonville's going to score very many points. Their defense is playing well. You know, the under was good for Steve and I with Miami-Jacksonville last week. I'm going to bang that under again. It's 43.5. I'm going to hit that for three units, and I'm actually going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars for two units, getting the 11 points. That's a lot of points in the NFL. I think they'll be able to keep it closer than that in a low-scoring game. Feels like it's about 17-10. The Bengals win this one, maybe 20-10. Either way, I win both bets. Two on the Jags getting 11, three on the under 43.5.
Ross, I know you got a pipeline into Marvin Lewis. What does he say about A.J. Green?
He said he's been looking better at practice and he's making progress and blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
The same thing every coach says.
Sure. Although you have given me really good information on him so far from what on a weekly basis, I do think it would make sense. Cincinnati would feel, hey, why do we need to plan to beat Jacksonville? So if there's any question, they'll hold him out. This is a double-decker deli sandwich game. And Cincinnati has just played at Indy, Baltimore, and they've got Cleveland and at New Orleans after. This is the one game they look past. And, you know, it's interesting. Of course, I agree that Cincinnati should win. But every year there's a game in the NFL where a monster favorite manages to lose. And this is certainly a very bad spot that the Bengals could look past. It wouldn't shock me if you saw Jacksonville win this game outright. I'm going to take Jacksonville for the two units plus the 11. And I agree with Ross. I'll go under the 43.5 for two units as well, hoping A.J. Green, if he doesn't play or if he plays in a limited role. And Jacksonville won't get very many points, but I think Cincinnati will be very flat.
Wow. Bri, that is a double best bet. Play it again.
The best bet.
That is a double-decker best bet. That's crazy. That's never happened before.
because sometimes you need a little fun with your sports.
This is not a sports show. This is a me show.
The Steve Zavid Show from Yahoo Sports Radio.
Sally, how soon before Scott's daughter Instagrams her?
Sports talk with fun and frivolity.
Are you out of your mind?
I mean, I'm not talking about a sports show.
God, I sound terrible, don't I? Oh, excuse me. Hello and welcome. Take three.
Listen to the Steve Zavid Podcast on Podcast One.
Just search Zavid, C-Z-A-B-A-N.
I got carried away. I'm very sorry.
All right, Steve, let's talk about Tampa Bay at Cleveland.
Yeah, and Cleveland's laying 6.5. Total is 43.5. Obviously, Cleveland, when their center went out, the offense under Hoyer stopped moving the ball completely. Tampa Bay, wow. What do you have to say? In the world's greatest spot off a bye, they were unable to beat the Vikings. I don't want Tampa Bay, and I don't want Cleveland without their center till they show me they can that they can move the ball. I have to pass.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think the Cleveland Browns win the game, but they have not run the ball as well. They've got a new center in there, Nick McDonald. He's still kind of getting his feet wet a little bit. They moved John Greco, I should say, back to right guard. I think this is a low-scoring game. I think that the Bucs do keep it somewhat respectable. I think the Browns probably win by a touchdown. So with the line being 6.5 points, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take nobody. I'm going to pass this game as well. In fact, it's interesting to note, Steve, I don't know why, but I am passing more games this week than I typically do. Not exactly sure why that is, but I just look at the game, and if I see value, I say it. If I don't, I don't. I don't see value here.
Ross, Washington at Minnesota.
By the way, Steve, is that one of the toughest things to do when you're gambling is to say, you know what, I'm just passing?
Not for me, because I make so many bets, frankly, that I've got so much to track and be in action that I have no problem. And you know, I'm supposed to be the expert here. And by the way, to everyone listening, Ross is much more an expert on the player personnel. I'm much more statistically driven, although I watch almost all the games. I don't know the players nearly as well, but I've got my power ratings. I think they're some of the best in the world. I know, Ross, I gave you a hard time about you putting Dallas number one in your power ratings last week, but I'm very objective, and I do the art, I do the science. And the bottom line is most of the time the spread is right where I expect it to be. I can't invent a winner when my number equals what they're dealing.
Right. What do you got on Minnesota-Washington?
Current line is Pick'em, and total is 44.
You got any action?
I have no action on this game at all. I do have an interesting stat. RG3 is likely to play. RG3's quarterback rating is just below 100. McCoy was 107. He has the highest of the three Washington quarterbacks. You can win a bar bet with that bet, I think, but I'm going to pass.
I'm passing this one as well. I was showing that the Redskins were getting a point, which really doesn't do anything for you, right? I mean, I guess if they lose by a point, it's a push, but it doesn't really do much for you. I don't know how to feel about this game. I think I'm going to pick the Vikings to win it, but boy, I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I don't have any thoughts, action, nothing.
All right, Steve, moving on. Philadelphia at Houston.
Sure. Philly is laying 2. The total is 48.5. Go ahead and put me down for 2 units on the over. I like the way the Houston team has been able to move the ball some. I'm not a big fan of Fitzpatrick, but certainly he's been better than I expected. And then, you know, Philly just runs so many plays. You know, Ross mentioned that they had only gotten 7 against Arizona. Both teams only had 17 points with a minute to play, but there were yards galore. And part of that is the fast paced Philly runs. AFC NFC is always a good subset to play over when these two teams play because of the lack of familiarity favors the offense. I'm on the over.
I'm not touching this one. This one seems about right to me. I think the Philadelphia Eagles probably win the game, but it's a close game. Did you put it on the over, Steve?
Yes.
Wow, 48.5, and you're still going over. Not me. I'm going to pass this one. I understand what you're saying, but 24-24 and you still lose. I'm passing this one. Like I said, there's a lot of games this week. I don't have a great vibe for. I think the Eagles win the game, but I'm not picking them giving up a couple points.
Ross, moving on, the New York Jets at the Kansas City Chiefs.
I like this game a lot. I see a lot of value here, and I think it's the over. I think the number is 41.5. That seems really low to me. In fact, it's the lowest over-under this week by a lot. I think the Chiefs will score decently. They scored decently last week against St. Louis, 30-some points. The Jets' defense has not been playing well. And I think somehow Vic and the Jets' offense will manufacture a little bit of offense. I think the line's about right. Chiefs probably win by 10 points, but I like the over for 3 units. I like the over quite a bit in this game.
Yeah, I probably should join you. I'm on the sideline on this one, Ross, but you're probably going to talk me into it eventually. In fact, go ahead and put me down for 1 unit on the over. The stats don't agree with it at all, but that was a completely different team when Vic was playing against, you know, Buffalo in terms of the pace, in terms of the, you know, just the attitude of the players. I think they've completely resigned themselves with Geno Smith. They have no chance. Vic's good for a couple turnovers, also going to help scoring. Not that Geno wasn't good for it, but I think Vic can get into both end zones. And like you said, really low total for the NFL. 1 unit on the over.
The best bet.
Nice, Bri.
Steve, moving on, the Arizona Cardinals at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, there's pretty much just one book is dealing a line on this right now. It's 3.5 and 46.5. That's at CGT Technology. Boy, I do expect Romo's going to play, but with his uncertainty, I need a little more information on the game. Power rating-wise, I make Dallas a couple points better with Romo, but he won't be 100%. I'm going to pass.
Let me ask you this, Steve. Doesn't it an advantage for that book to be the only one that's open right now for people that want to bet it and they get that money coming in? And doesn't the line move with where the bets come in so that they try to have even money on either side? So why not have it open right now? I mean, I don't know. I guess they could potentially lose some money if Romo doesn't play or whatever, but aren't they definitely losing money by not even having it on the board?
Well, they're breaking even by not having them on the board, but if Romo has his MRI and it reveals there is a problem with one of his discs and he's going to be out, and the MRI technician talks to his cousin who talks to someone who's a big sports bettor, and they get hit with 3 limit bets, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000 on Arizona, and then the line goes to pick, it's probably not such a good idea to have it open.
Huh. But there's the opportunity cost of not taking people's wagers, so they're not really breaking.
That's correct. That's correcorrect. So bottom line is it's fine to leave it open. The right way to do it is to leave it open and deal it, circle the game and deal it for lower limits than you normally would, and let 99% of the people who want to bet just bet on it, but don't take a $20,000 bet on it.
How often do you think that happens, the MRI technician stuff, the cousin?
Not at all. What really happens is that Romo tweets something about, boy, you know, it's not looking so good. And someone confirms it, and someone else tweets, Tony Romo has a slip disc, and he's going to be unable to play. And the sports options and the other odd services don't get that information for another half hour. So during that window, someone gets the information and bangs it then.
For this game, I was showing Dallas. What did you say the line was, Steve?
Dallas is laying 3.5. The total's down to 46.5.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona. I think the Arizona's going to win the game. I think they've been very consistent. Dallas played Monday night. I feel like they're starting to get a little beat up. No Justin Durant, whether Romo plays or not. And I think even if Dallas wins, it's by a field goal. So if you're going to give me 3.5 points, I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the 3 points. And 3 units getting to 3.5 points.
All right, Ross, what about the St. Louis Rams at the 49ers?
I think that this line is just about right. I'm not touching this game. I think that the Niners win by 10. That's what they're laying. The Niners are giving the Rams 10 points. I think that the total number of 44 is just about right. I also think going to PokerShop.com is just about right for most of you, because PokerShop.com has pretty much anything you could ever want for anything related to poker, first of all. Then they also have anything casino-related you could ever want for your man cave. And they even have really cool, like, collegiate-licensed portable bars and stools that you could have in your man cave or take it to your tailgate or whatever. Really, really cool. I like Poker Shop a lot. And guess what? PokerShop.com, one of the guys that works there is a listener. So you're also supporting one of your own. If you go to PokerShop.com, and by the way, you can get 10% off if you use the code Ross at the bottom of your shopping cart. So go there and check out the stools and the bar. The portable bar thing is awesome. In fact, I might actually get that. If they have a Penn State one or something, I might get that one. I think it's awesome. PokerShop.com. Steve, what do you have on this game?
I agree with you. I think St. Louis basically won their Super Bowl when they beat Seattle, and they're pretty much done with all the injuries that they have, but I don't want to lay 10 with the team that's going to lose their coach. I pass.
Steve, the big game, Denver at New England.
I'm going to get a little cute with this game if I can. Right now I'm showing that the total is 55, and Denver's laying anywhere from 3 to 3.5. This is the easiest game I've ever seen to handicap, and here's why. Denver is every bit as good as they were last year, and New England is a little bit down where they were last year, but not that far down, a little bit down. Last year New England was actually laying one at post. They were 1-point dog, but by the time they kicked off in Foxborough in Gillette, New England was -1. Now they're getting 3.5, way too much of an over adjustment for how well Denver's been playing. Here's the weather report: 10 to 20 mile an hour winds, wind chill 29 degrees. Peyton Manning cannot play well. He cannot be Peyton Manning in that sort of temperature. We remember the playoff game years ago when he scored 3 points for Indianapolis. It is a no-brainer. I'm taking New England plus the 3.5 for 2 units. Also, here's where I'm going to get cute. Put me down for 2 units under 55. I'm going to play for a medal. I'm convinced everyone will get that weather report and they'll all bet under. I'm going to throw back 2 units on the over at post, whatever the prevalent number is, because I'm pretty confident the number is going to drop 2 points on this total when everyone sees that weather report.
Whew, that's an interesting part. That's really interesting about the weather and the total number. I'm just going to pass this game, but you got me thinking now. In fact, these quarterbacks are too good still. I'm passing this game.
Ross, Oakland at Seattle.
15 points. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks are laying 15 points to the Raiders. I think the Raiders have actually been playing better as of late. The games have been fairly competitive. They did a nice job in Cleveland. I mean, the Seahawks are going to win the game, and they'll probably win it by double digits at the end, but I think Oakland hangs tough enough that I'm going to take the Raiders 2 units. I know how you feel, Steve, about betting on the Raiders, but 15 points is a lot of points.
15 points is a lot of points. Going back to the last game, I'm going to pass the Raider game. But what was funny, Ross, is how you and I feel the same way. I'm betting the weather report under, but I'm not betting Tom Brady and Peyton Manning to go. I'm not going to keep an under position. I'm going to dump it at post because exactly, we feel the same way about the quarterbacks. I will say this, I still have Seattle as my second highest rated team in the NFL. One side note, at that CGT Technologies, I do have my app open as we speak. I just did bet Arizona plus 3.5. Let's see if the line moves. I'll report back on that in a few minutes.
Steve, let's talk about Baltimore at Pittsburgh Sunday night.
Yeah, key injury here. Cornerback Jimmy Smith is out for Baltimore, and he's one of the guys, very few people, non-quarterbacks, move the needle. A.J. Green moves the needle. Calvin Johnson moves the needle. But on defense, you can get a really important guy that is out, and he doesn't move the line at all. And I think that's what we're looking at here. I would have loved for Baltimore to have beaten Cincinnati, and then I would be chunk betting Pittsburgh. However, Baltimore off the loss, it's a much better spot for them to bounce back, and they are the better team. But these two teams always play super, super close games, and Pittsburgh got beat by 20. I think that they'll probably exact their revenge in this game. I actually think the money is going to come on Baltimore. So if you could grade me, the line's currently pick. If you can grade me, I'll take Pittsburgh, whatever the line is at post, because I think I'm going to get a point and a half if I wait. Put me down for Pittsburgh for a unit at post.
Wow, interesting. I'm not touching this game. Pick 'em sounds just about right. That's the way these games go. I think I'm going to pick the Ravens probably to win the game, but it's going to be close, and it can go either way. If I had to make a wager on this game, I would probably take the under. 48 seems pretty high for when these two teams get together, but I'm not going to do it because especially the way Pittsburgh looked. I mean, they scored over 48 themselves last week.
Ross, let's finish it up. Monday night, Indianapolis at the New York Giants.
Yeah, and this is the last. I'm passing this one as well. I don't like betting on games with teams coming out of a bye. I just don't feel like I have a good vibe for where they are coming out of a bye. I think the Colts win this game. If I had to bet, I'd probably put two units on the Colts because I think they win and maybe even by double digits. Just not believing in the Giants based on what I've seen from them the last couple times out.
And I'm going to go ahead and play the over for two units over 50.5. The stats have Indy gaining 6 yards per play. They give up 5.9. I know they totally shut down the Bengals. That was a weird game. The Bengals just weren't ready to go. I think that that Pittsburgh 600 yards basically shows the Indy defense is not as good as people had expected. They're regressing back to where they were the prior year. Again, I got the AFC NFC going on, which helps the over. And all these primetime games, Sunday night, Monday night, are 20-5 to the over the last 25. So good subsets across the board. I will take my chances with the over.
That'll do it for a week 9 edition of the Even Money Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the questions I asked today and that initial thing about the Eagles-Cardinals game. I thought that was interesting. Hopefully a lot of you did as well. We really appreciate those of you that give us a retweet on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Fezzik Sports, at RTF Podcast, or a like on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We will tweet out the link and Facebook post the link to this podcast multiple times. And we love those of you that subscribe to all these podcasts and download them all on multiple devices. I think we're done here. Good luck, everybody. Hope you win some money.
Thanks for downloading today's Even Money Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off the MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.